But we're talking about cynicism.
We're talking about cynicism.
You know what I did the other night?
What'd you do the other night?
Speaking
probably of nothing.
Cynical. Nothing fun. Nothing you could do.
Uh-huh.
I went to see the new Mario.
Fit in
movie.
Small places. Oh, you saw the new Mario movie?
I did.
Yeah. What'd you think?
With my children, who are adults.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I thought I was really excited the movie was over.
Now, is that, can you tell the difference now when you're like, that's objectively not that good of a movie versus like, oh, this is obviously not targeted toward me?
Yeah. So I saw the first one with it. Like, they want me to go. And I love hanging out with them, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So like I go, these are adults, right? So these are like grown-ups. So they grew up with Mario. I did not in the same way. And so I went to the first one. It was funny and good, and it had like a plot. This one didn't have a plot.
Oh, I'm one of those picky people. The movie should have a plot.
Oh, because I thought, well, I'll just follow it like a story. And they would like cheer when this random character would show up. And I'm like, who's that? So afterwards, they're like, did you like it, Dad? I said, I liked spending time with you guys. That was awesome. The highlight of the day for me was being with you.
That one is on my list, my like take my daughter to see it list. We did see the first one together too. And I'm probably when it comes to Mario, I'm probably literally in between you and your kids because when I was 8 years old, it was in the heyday of Mario. Like I lived the Nintendo to Super Nintendo shift, and all we wanted to do was play Mario. Now, when it gets into some of the deeper stuff, I never got into that, but it's like, yeah, I'm like in this hybrid world. I probably don't get it nearly as much as your
kids. The first movie made $1 billion.
Yeah.
The second movie was created to pick up that last half billion that was just laying on the ground. Uh-huh. And it's not going to win an Oscar, I can tell you that.
No. Yeah. It's amazing, though. Like, somebody not that long ago, it might have been like a year ago, but someone's like, I feel like they just made that movie to make money and get out. I'm like, you know, that's why they make all movies, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Very, very, very few people are making it just to make art.
Joe, that's so cynical of you.
Oh, what a segue. Well, guys, welcome to Mixed Messages with the one and only cynical Jeff Bogue.
That's
yeah, the Luke Mario movie. No. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are really glad you're here. There's a lot of noise out there. Matter of fact, in the last couple of minutes, we might have added to it, but it's not always clear to what to believe or how to live. And we want to help you sort through the mixed messages all around us and follow the way of Jesus. So let's dive in. Jeff, excellent segue. Today's conversation is about cynicism. Specifically, here's the question. Can you please explain religious cynicism and how to overcome it? There's a lot of talk in and around the quote-unquote church about religion, organized religion, social media preachers, social media warriors pointing out who to and who not to follow. Gosh, how do we overcome the exhausting rhetoric of our cynical culture?
Boy, that is a fantastic question, because I would very much agree with our listener that there is a lot of cynicism, particularly on social media, and some of it, I think, is very ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it, I think, is like wildly cynical. Some of it is deserved, and I'm not sure that any of it pleases the heart of Christ. And so, I always find it fascinating that the church often is kind of famous for shooting its own wounded.
Sure.
And so I don't want to do that, but some of it bugs me. So it depends on what we're talking about, where we're talking about it. The stuff that I think is wildly out of line is when people who are sincerely striving to serve Jesus are mocked for their efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not talking about televangelists or people who are abusing the gospel. But for instance, like one of the things that gets blown up online, mocked a lot, is very cynical online right now, is like the mega church.
Sure.
And it bothers me. Now, some of it I take personally, you know, because we're a mega church. But I'm like, I know some of the pastors that mm-hmm. are getting mocked online, and I'm like, no, those guys are trying to teach the gospel. God has put a responsibility on them that's unique, that they're reaching more people than maybe a normal pastor is, mm-hmm. and they're stewarding that well, mm-hmm. and they're not flying the private jets. They're not walking around with the, you know, $30,000 tennis shoes on. They are faithful servants of God trying to teach the Bible, trying to reach more people, and they have godliness and humility, and they've been entrusted with a huge responsibility. So to create a category and mock it, what you're saying is like, I mock and despise what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing kind of goes to the small church.
Mm-hmm.
So the church that the band isn't that good, or the pastor made an awkward point, mm-hmm. or whatever it is,
yeah,
you know, that will get mocked online. I'm like, no, these are, I don't know all these individuals, of course, but oftentimes they are sincere. They are trying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily like that illustration they did either, but they did that with a desire to try to communicate the gospel, and I think it hurts God's heart when one of his children is sincerely trying to serve him and the rest of the family is mocking
mm-hmm.
that. So that cynicism is, I think, wicked, and I think it's just divisive.
Yeah, I actually saw a version of that play out this weekend. So we're recording right now. It's a few days after Easter, and there was an associate pastor of a large church in the United States, and he took a picture of basically their stage and said, "Hey, would you join me in praying for the like tens of thousands of people that will come to our church this weekend that they would know and understand who Jesus is and the life and resurrection of Christ." That's basically all he said. And then, like, half of the comments were things like, there's no such thing as a church of 40,000 or whatever the number was. And that's not impossible. And you can't possibly this and blah, 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 blah. And he was like, he was actually very gracious. He responded to most of the comments. I was surprised at that. But he said, like, no, we have 60 locations as a church. On average, that's 700 to 800 per campus, which those are all large churches. But I didn't mean 45,000 people in a stadium. Like, there's just a lot of people. And then somebody's like, why aren't you praying for smaller churches, this, that, and the other? And he's like, I just thought I would ask for prayer for the church I was sitting in this morning. Like, I'm not trying to make a point.
Yeah.
But that's in one comment that I happened to read this morning. That's how prevalent it is.
Yeah.
Instantaneously, you get all of that back and forth right
yeah.
away.
And the response to that, I'll be honest with you, I'm like this. I don't do much on social media.
Sure, yep.
Because I'm like, I can't win.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't sincerely ask the body of Christ
mm-hmm.
to pray for the people coming to, because I'm going to immediately, why are you praying that they come to your church, not somebody else's church? I'm like, so there's no ability, it shuts down the ability to have relationship.
Yeah.
It really shuts down the ability for unity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it breaks the heart of God. I also think that there is a cynicism that can be created by the church. So
sure.
I do think that churches, mega churches, smaller churches, sometimes are intentionally sensational.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people do preach untruths and even false gospels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's appropriate that a pastor is extravagant in their lifestyle, and I think you have to, you know, there's the old question, how do you know somebody's rich? How do you know somebody's rich, Joe?
Somebody has more than you.
Somebody's got more than you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have a bigger church, you probably make more money, but you don't necessarily know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can look at my lifestyle and be like, he's a megachurch, but I'm like, well, we own 3 businesses, and we work really hard, and we started those businesses so that we could stay here because
mm-hmm.
The church couldn't afford to pay. So you don't know those backstories. And
right.
So, but I do think there's a wisdom in, like, why do you have a $25,000 pair of sneakers on? That's that's not wise. Mm-hmm. And what do you, what's the point? Or the Rolls Royces and the private jets and those kind of things. So I think there's some of that that it is corrective and even rebukative, but it's not, it comes off as cynical. It's mm-hmm. not loving, and it's not meant to draw a person closer. It's just a way to mock people. I think there's that idea. And then there's an idea that I think is very dangerous and wicked, and it's an idea that says all of this is just a system. Mm-hmm. So the church isn't spirit empowered. I don't need organized religion. All organization of religion is fake and false. And I'm like, that is not biblical.
Not at all.
And you know, the church is abused and the church is stolen. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But that's not true of everyone.
No.
The church has also given their lives for their beliefs and died for people and created hospitals and went to the front lines to heal the wounded, not to shoot the enemy. Like, mm-hmm. there's glorious parts of the church, and there are wicked parts of the church. The true church has rebuked and moved from that wickedness and, mm-hmm. and continues to move forward. So all of that, it kind of gets thrown into a pile, and I think the reason is this. I think that if I can categorize you and discredit you, I can discount what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can categorize you, you're a megachurch, then I can discredit you. See, megachurches just take people's money. Well, then I can discount what you're saying, which means I can discount everything from your teaching to why is God reaching more and more people through that church and not through yours?
Yeah.
There's everything from a jealousy there to a self-righteousness, and I'm like, can't we celebrate what God is doing? That's what the Apostle Paul was like, literally, like, as long as the name of Christ is being proclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why can't we cheer for each other? Why are we cynical?
Mm-hmm.
And why are we competitive? I think the flow reverses from the big church to the small church.
Sure.
And I think big churches can become arrogant and self-righteous, see we're reaching people, you're doing nothing. Well, that's not true either.
Right.
And being faithful and reaching people slowly over time, it depends on the soil that you're mm-hmm. building the church in. It depends on a plethora of factors. Oh, but like
gifting, calling, what the Lord's trying to do in that moment, what he's trying to, I mean, there's so many factors.
It goes
like you
on
said.
And on.
Yep.
So why can't those two sides of that coin, so to say, cheer for each other
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and support and build into each other? Why would you have to discount? And this is what I think happens. I think for Christians, if you are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ and you're discounting the work of Christ that is genuine in another person's church or life,
mm-hmm.
I am not talking about the abuses.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I'm talking about the this church has a leadership with integrity, has a reputation of loving the community, and is not abusing resources, even though those resources may be greater than the resources you have.
Yep.
When we don't cheer for each other, we're dividing the body. And what happens is the church will start to critique and pull apart itself in the same way that the world does to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not reflecting the heart of Jesus, we're reflecting the heart of the world. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So when I accuse you of having false motives, or I accuse you of being abusive, or I accuse you of being shallow, or I accuse you of not being with the times and being ineffective, or mm-hmm. you know, whatever the accusation is, let it flow all directions. I'm actually doing the work of the evil one,
right?
And it's only discouraging. It's not corrective. It's not an exhortation or even a rebuke. It's an accusation. And to me, and I think the scripture is clear, that all we cross over into sin.
Yeah.
So we live in a cynical society. that is purposely cynical toward Christianity. Other religions don't get this scrutiny.
No.
If I did a criticism of Islam the way that the press does a criticism of Christianity, mm-hmm. I would get blown up online.
Sure.
But we get criticized that way, mm-hmm. and it's kind of accepted right now. So there's a cynicism from society. Some of it is rooted mm-hmm. in distrust and abuses, for sure. I think we have to own that.
Yep.
Some of it's wildly unfair.
Yeah.
And we've turned it into a cottage industry, and it is affecting the body of Christ.
There's a passage in Ephesians 4 that if you grew up in the church, even decades ago, was often tied to things like swearing or cursing, which would be an appropriate application. But as you were talking, it reminded me of it. In verse 29, it says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them." And a couple verses later, it says, "So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." And so much of the religious cynicism, whether we're the ones pushing it, or even if we're the ones just always reading it and always soaking it in, it fights directly against our ability to listen to that admonition. Like, Paul's calling us to be a perpetuator, to help the gospel move forward, but every time we find ourselves in this rhetoric, we're doing the opposite. Like you said, you're doing the enemy's work to try to tear it all down.
Yeah, I just don't see, if I need to correct a brother or sister in Christ, I'm to do that in love, and I'm to do that to them.
Mm-hmm.
There is no place for TikTok rebuke. There is no place of that in a mocking kind of a way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying don't have online conversations necessarily, mm-hmm. but like I watch like your example of the guy who posted this weekend. I'm like, what's the benefit of that? What did he ask for that was ungodly or self-centered?
Right.
Nothing.
No.
He reached out to the rest of the body of Christ and was like, hey, we're in this together, right? Would you pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confident that if somebody would said, praying for you, bro, will you pray for us too?
That literally happened a couple times, and that's exactly—
So where is the— Now, if he was like, pray we have the largest offering in the history of our church today— Or, you know, pray that we finish raising money for the jet.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to guard our hearts, and we're participating. Sarcasm, cynicism, harshness, discrediting is the language of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about a joke or teasing. Right. I'm talking about this, you know, what the topic is. And it does not build the body. It does not edify the body. And what it does is it discredits the body to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair. Now, I'll say this. When a brother or sister needs corrected publicly, mm-hmm. we should also do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the uniqueness of social media. You make a public statement. Sometimes you have to have a public correction.
Well, I think like when you don't have— I love what you said earlier about go to that person. So if we picked, you know, some relatively huge online public voice, you know, the whole country tends to listen to their podcasts if they're church nerds and stuff like that, and they say something in a message online in a sermon that is, you think, incorrect, you don't have to discredit that person to say, I disagree with what they said.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the lines that gets crossed over. Their disappointment in the person turns into like distrusting everything they do altogether. And it's like, just because someone has a different position or taught a certain passage the way that you disagree with doesn't mean you should never listen to Pastor X ever again. They're a blasphemer. It's like, no, maybe they just understand that particular thing differently than you.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And then what I find is a lot of times what people are disagreeing with is the style,
right?
Or the focus. So like mm-hmm. somebody's talking about politics and you don't think they should, or they're not and you think they should.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're not— you don't— first of all, you don't know the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, you're not a part of this body.
Yeah.
And this is where it's a tension. Like when we record this podcast, mixed messages. We're doing this for the Grace Church family.
Yep.
But it gets thrown onto a global stage,
sure,
called the internet.
Yep.
So we have to know that. But we're not trying to make a big podcast. We're trying to talk to the mm-hmm. people of our church. So
hi, guys.
So some of this needs to be like the pastors. If you're going to work hard and blow yourself up to have a million followers, mm-hmm. you're going to take different arrows than mm-hmm. like I'm going to take, because that's yep. not a goal of mine, right?
Yep.
So I just think it's mixed together, but I think it's as ungodly, the cynicism is mm-hmm. is as ungodly as the people that you are being cynical about. And I think what happens then is you form an opinion or a view, and everything that they say, you pull through that opinion or that cynical view, and mm-hmm. now they can't win.
Yep.
And when you categorize people, you dehumanize them. Mm-hmm. And when you dehumanize them, you dissolve your responsibility to love them.
Yeah.
And so don't do that. Now let me say this. That's the online accuser mess. Mm-hmm. The second part of this mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. what we fill our ears with.
Yes.
So the reason that has become so big is because it's being consumed so fast. Mm-hmm. And we have turned criticism of the church and cynicism of the church and scandal in the church, we have turned it from something that breaks our heart to a cottage industry. Mm-hmm. And we'll do 8, 10, 12 episode podcasts that will have millions of listens and downloads. And all it's doing is rehashing scandal and pain mm-hmm. and reinforcing rumor and assumption.
Yep.
And the person who the podcast is about is usually not involved in the podcast.
Right.
So you don't know that person. Both sides aren't being told. It's someone who's got an agenda, and they're making that agenda, and we have turned it into entertainment for us. And I think we have a responsibility as individual followers of Jesus to turn some stuff off.
I agree completely.
And to not listen to it. And if that stuff, I like to say this a lot at our church, if you're talking about a person, you should be talking to them. Mm-hmm. So if this is showing up in your local body, whether it's Grace or whatever church you go to, if you have a question or you have a cynicism or you have a mistrust, you should land in that pastor's office mm-hmm. and be like, this is what I think and this is what I fear. Can you walk me through it? And I will say that the people who have done that for me, mm-hmm. 98% of the time, either I explain the part of the story they don't know and it mm-hmm. satisfies them, or I admit that I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm like, yeah, I admitted that like 6 months ago. You're right. You're mm-hmm. right. That is a weakness of our church.
Yep.
Or you're right. I did make a mistake. You're 100% right. 98% of the time, they walk away with a trust, and we walk away with a deeper relationship mm-hmm. with each other. The 2% of the time, I find that no answer will satisfy yep. because they're like, no, you're a part of a system. I'm like, I'm trying to serve Jesus, man. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not saying the system's perfect. I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to get the job done. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, okay. So there's nothing I can do or say.
A church that is striving for Jesus but is imperfect in doing so is in phenomenal company with the churches that we see all throughout the New Testament.
Right.
Every church in the New Testament was sometimes doing laughable things in terms of whether or not it honored Christ.
Yeah.
And other times just straight up was like, hey, you've missed your first love, or you're not serving enough, or you're not focusing on this. Like, we all need coached. We're all humans that are imperfect. We're all striving after Jesus. And again, that's what the New Testament is doing after Jesus' ascension, is helping build, shepherd, and correct, and rebuke, and then encourage the church. Yeah. It's not tear it down and throw it out because it's imperfect.
Yeah, and you get into so much of this, so much cynicism is tied to your opinion. Mm-hmm. I got a new truck a year ago, And I had a cynical person interact with me. They're like, "Well, megachurch pastor drives a new truck." I'm like, "Okay, my old truck died. It's an F-150. I don't know what to say. What do you want me to drive?"
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, "This is that's just your opinion. Like, what do you want me to do?"
Yep.
You know, like, yeah, normal people get new cars. For me, it was about 10 years later. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look and I'm going to say, I'm not even going to defend this, and it doesn't matter what I say. Mm-hmm. What the person who was being cynical with me about won't admit is they just have a preference. Mm-hmm. They're like, "I wouldn't drive a F-150. I would drive a Yugo." I'm like, mm-hmm. "Okay, well, I won't."
Sure.
that is where I think it gets wildly dangerous. We do that to each other. Mm-hmm. We do that internally. We do that to other places. And the scripture would say, if you have a question about someone as a brother, sister of Christ, go and ask them that question. Mm-hmm. And then if the answer is godly, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that it has to agree with you.
Right.
If their lifestyle is different than yours, that doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Right.
And social media especially is entertainment. It's not reality. Mm-hmm. And so people are looking for reasons to blow people up. And it feeds this. But my whole point with this train of thought was the consumer side of it. Mm-hmm. They feed it because we consume it.
Yep. It is 100% of what most headlines are, because we're just prone to honestly want to complain or, well, it's the old school Yelp strategy. Are you more apt to give the 1-star review because you were so disappointed, or remember to give the 5-star review because it was great?
Yeah.
We're always inclined to give the 1-star review, but that's also, like you're saying, what we're inclined to read. And so we have to become more disciplined and caring to help put the fires out to, like, no, I don't get into all that garbage, because all it does is make me cynical, or all it does is get me disappointed when I'm trying to go live the way that Christ called me to live. It's appropriate to say I want to shut that stuff out. It's fleeing from all things immoral and instead running after who God is. Like, those kind of messages are all throughout the scripture, because God's not only trying to build his kingdom, he's trying to protect us and give us a healthier path forward. I don't want to live in cynical realities where every time I turn around, I'm like, "Well, that sucks. Well, that's terrible. Well, yeah, they just probably want to blow that up. Well, they're moron." Like, that's a terrible way to live. Because I think we all slip into these for at least small seasons. When I slip into them, I'm like, I have to wake myself up. What am I being such a...
Well, it robs you of joy and peace, because you're obsessed about somebody else's life and not focus on God's goodness. I just think that's the balance to it. I do think that hypocrisy and sin and manipulation of the gospel should be called out. Mm. And the call out should be on par with the platform that it was done on.
Yeah.
I don't think we should become people who look and say, nobody in our family can make a mistake. Nobody in our family can have a different opinion. Mm-hmm. Nobody from our family can try and fail. And nobody in our family can be something other than what we think they should be.
Yeah.
That is the cynical part of it.
Yep.
And I'm like, that is not godly. It is not Christ-centered. It doesn't mean that people shouldn't be coached or talked to or exhorted or even rebuked. But when it becomes like the lifestyle, it's a different thing. I do think who fills your ears tends to fill your heart. Mm-hmm. You should write that down, everybody. Mm-hmm. Pull over. Who fills your ears tends to fill your heart. And let me tell you something. Every study on the planet says you go off social media, your mood goes up, your stress goes down, your head clears. our bodies and minds and spirits were not meant to take input from 7 billion people. Mm-hmm. We can't handle it. It breaks us, right? There were parents who literally just won a lawsuit with Facebook and Instagram about this. So it breaks us. Surrounding yourself with people that you know and love. When you come to a church, regardless of its size, are you known and loved? Can you be known and loved? Can you walk up to the pastor and say, do you want to see a movie? Can you walk up to the pastor and say, can we grab coffee? You can't do that with the guy you're criticizing on Instagram. You're never going to meet that guy.
Right.
So like dialing your spiritual relationship into people that surround you and are part of your life, and then the normal affects of a relationship that take play, and then tuning out cynicism will go a long way to removing it from your own heart.
Yep.
You know, instead of feeding yourself with it.
If you want to do a small Bible study on a passage with what Jeff said there about what fills your ears, check out Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Jesus talks about how your eye is like a lamp to your body, but it's exactly what Jeff is talking about. Like, dig into that a little bit and see what he says in particular. It's really, really good.
Yeah, and later on, Paul says, whatever is good, admirable, praiseworthy, mm-hmm. holy, righteous, think on these things. And mm-hmm. I'm going to say this weekend in service, but this podcast will come out later, so you guys will get it twice. I think how you start your day is really important. Mm-hmm. And I think when you start your day by spending time with Christ and his word and time in prayer, and you start your day by praying for lost people, mm-hmm. I think it orients your day and you see the world differently.
Yeah.
When you wake up and check Instagram to see what you missed the last 6 hours since you went to bed, or you wake up to so-and-so's morning update, mm-hmm. it literally kicks it in. And when you're addicted to that, it kicks in the endorphins,
right?
Which is what social media does. It functions more like an addiction than it does a pastime.
Yep.
So you start reorienting those things in your life, you'll feel joy and you'll feel peace. That is not living in denial.
No.
That's not saying I live in denial. That's saying I'm not going to satisfy an appetite.
Yeah.
So I can know full well what's going on in the world and not make that my source of nutrition. Because mm-hmm. that's junk food and it literally poisons the body of Christ.
Yep. Well, if you have questions like this that you'd like us to tackle, we would love to interact with them. We truly love interacting with these questions because it gives us a glimpse of where all of our hearts are at, and sometimes they kind of poke at us too and allow us to process things. So this is always really great and helpful. If you have a question, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send those our way. We'd love to interact with them. Don't be a stranger. You can always let us know how these are helping you. And if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend. If you're looking for a church, you're trying to figure out a place where you can run after Jesus, hopefully in a non-cynical way as well. Well, thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.